Welcome to our executive meeting, the Board of Directors. This is my first meeting, and I think, Katura, is this your first meeting?
Yes.
Is this your first meeting?
Not my first meeting, my first meeting in this group.
At this stadium, Ward is the experienced person who's been here before. So I'm glad to have an opportunity to meet with both groups. Ward tells me we started meeting together in November, and it was actually a good idea. So unless anyone objects, we'll continue to do that and see how it goes forward from there. So we have a real agenda, so we'll start with a call to order, which I just did. We'll approve the agenda, so I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Certification of executive sessions.
Jack, may I?
Yeah.
Introduction.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Since there's so many new, I apologize. Barbara and Patrick, I certainly heard you and seen you, but don't know anything about you. So is that okay?
Oh, I think it's a great idea, Jim. Glad you suggested it. So why don't we start there? And then we'll just give us your name and maybe some about you, so who you are, and fall around.
I'm John Nelson.
It's not connected.
We're working on that.
We're bad.
Outside voice, I guess. My name is John Nelson. I'm representing Fairfax County on the Rider Advisory Council. I'm currently the privacy officer for the United States Forest Service.
And he's here because he's our Virginia. Oh, it's not on. The Virginia chair for RAC.
Oh,
he
great.
Leads the Virginia delegation.
Virginia delegation, very good.
Even though he's brand new.
Brand new.
Is that a volunteer or an appointed position? Or did you volunteer to be appointed?
I was a volunteer to be appointed.
Yes, yeah, right. Volunteer to be voted in. They were voted in.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Elbert Arisa Silva. I am the second vice chair of the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Washington, D.C.
Okay.
My name is Pat Sheehan. I've been around here for a long time. I am the chair of the Accessibility Advisory Committee. I've been doing it for a number of years. About 20 or so, 25. So if there's some accessibility things that haven't gotten done, you can point the finger to me as I slacked off or something, I guess. I work in the Department of Veterans Affairs doing Section 508, which is accessibility to IT and all that sort of thing. So I bring that, hopefully bring that expertise here.
Very good.
I am Denise Rush, and I'm the Vice Chair of the Advisory AAC Committee, and I am the Vice Chair of the Metro Access Subcommittee. I am the Vice President of the National Federation for the Blind, Maryland Slagle Chapter. I presently work at Stepcoin Johnson, a law firm. I've been there 35 years. This is my first term, or first year, as the Vice Chair of the AAC, and my second term for the Vice Chair of the Federal, for the Metro Access Committee.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Chris Barnes. I am a DC representative on the Riders Advisory Council, first year. I am jokingly labeled the troublemaker of the RAC, which is fine by me. I am also the chair of the Budget and Finance Committee on the RAC.
Okay, thank you.
Barbara Hermanson, the RAC chair, and I am an Alexandria representative and formerly Virginia chair, vice chair, I should say. So, and I've been on the RAC for 3 or 4 years now.
Okay.
And you volunteered to serve again?
Yeah. Oh, and I'm retired, so that's how I can do it.
Okay.
I just don't work for money anymore.
I work for a nonprofit. I know exactly what you're talking about. Hi, I'm Jim Cork, and I live in Vienna, Virginia, and I'm the president and CEO of the Northern Virginia Chamber of Commerce.
Colin Roosh, I'm a new at-large member for the Riders Advisory Council and chair of the Program Projects and Planning Committee.
I'm Mort Downing, past chair of the Metro Board, Vienna resident, and I don't work either, so I have time to spend on this.
Very good. I'm Jack Evans, the new chairman of the board of WMATA. In my other life, I'm the council member representing Ward 2 on the City Council in Washington, D.C.
Katura Harley, resident of Prince George's County, Maryland, vice chair of the executive committee. And in my private life, where I do work for money, I'm an attorney and consultant.
I'm Jennifer Ellison. I'm the board corporate secretary.
Okay, well, great. I'm glad we all had an opportunity to meet each other. And then we'll move forward with the agenda. This next item, the certification of executive session. What is that, Jennifer?
Those are the...
I have something in front of me I'm supposed to read. Or...
On behalf of the executive committee for its meetings on October 29th, November 2nd, and November 16th, I move that the board executive committee certify, to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting, that at those meetings only such matters as are authorized for discussion and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive sessions were convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board executive committee. You and I were the two who were at most of these meetings.
Okay. So there's a motion.
Motion, yeah.
Is there a second? Sure. Second? Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Now next we'll have the approval of the minutes for October 22nd, October 29th, 2015 executive session, November 2nd, 2015 executive session, and November 16th, 2015 executive session. I'd like to move those minutes at this time. Is there a second?
Sure.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Now we'll go to the information items, the quarterly meeting with the Accessory Advisory Council leadership. So how do you guys want to handle this?
Well, we are going to cover all the topics listed, but
okay.
Not necessarily in that order.
Okay.
Patrick and I did some putting our heads together, and rather than go back and forth between the two groups, we're going to go based on subject matter. So we're going to talk, for instance, about budget things first, then safety. Then it's actually like the colored handout that you have on the last page of the document. It's the RAC's work plan, but we're going to, as we get to the individual topics, talk about the AAC components that relate to those topics. So hopefully we'll cover everything and try to do it quickly and not have to keep jumping between one topic and another topic.
Okay.
My first agenda item was introduction, so thank you for taking care of that.
Oh, very good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get in your way there.
No, I was glad that you did that. So the RAC...
Is there a way to... to prioritize some of the things, Mr. Evans, I need yes. to be on the Metro 230. Yeah.
Oh.
I apologize.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that, because that was actually the first thing I was supposed to do, was determine what the time restrictions were, constraints, so that we know how much time we do have and talk really fast or skip things as appropriate.
Both of those. Fast and skip things.
I can tell from your example, your fine example, to talk fast.
But do so, the important things first.
But you have to be on the Metro at 2:30. You got to leave here like 20 after or something like that, or
yeah.
Okay.
25.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think that putting the budget first and then safety stuff it will take care of that.
Okay.
Because
very good.
Budget is urgent because that's something that's
sure.
trying to be finalized.
Okay.
Okay. So if you look, so if you just take a look at that last page, it says the work plan for 2016 Writers Advisory Council. We're going to cover both ours and the AAC. Do you have this?
Go ahead, I'll get it.
I have an extra here.
Okay, you got an extra that'd be helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's on the back. Oh,
I'm not going to go into a lot of detail for all of these. We're just trying to get, so we have here first is, this page has budget and finance. We have a committee, budget and finance, and these are the things that the RAC has said that they're interested in working on this year. What we're looking for from the executive committee is always, you know, does that sound like a good idea? Sometimes you know something we don't know about something coming that makes it not a good time to look at something. Or maybe there's something you want us to do in the area of safety, for instance, that we don't have on the list. So one of the first things we wanted to talk about is, we did give recommendations last October about fiscal 2017 care policies. And one of the things that you already have incorporated into the budget proposal is the in and out, what we call the in and out 15-minute thing. That's wonderful. We're happy about that. But we were wondering, one of the things we'd also recommended was a policy, not necessarily a specific rule, but a policy on when adjustments or refunds are given. Because we do hear, for instance, that sometimes a husband and wife will independently call in, and one will get a refund and the other won't, and they were both together. So we didn't know if... Mort, you were the only one actually that was
yeah.
here last time, so I don't know if that was something that, we're not necessarily saying something that affected the budget, but is there any policy in the works for more consistent handling?
Yeah, that's staff to look at that. I've not heard back.
Okay, great. Okay, the more urgent topic is the fiscal 2017 budget in terms of the feedback that's due right away. As the chair of the budget committee, I'm going to turn it over to Chris Barnes, who is the expert on all things budget from the RAC point of view.
Yeah, I had to digest this, so I'll try to keep my remarks much shorter than this. First, I want to say thank you to the staff and to the board members for being here and giving us a voice. We did spend the last 2 months talking with writers and amongst ourselves and going to public forums such as the one Monday and hearing writer feedback. I'll just touch on some of the initiatives that are in the budget for this year. First being the 15-minute in-and-out rule. We love it. I've heard zero negative feedback about it. The only thing we did hear is someone wants their parking refunded, so that might be later. In regards to, I had to shorten my stuff now. We're pleased the authority is considering new fare options. We're encouraged by the partnerships with local colleges to provide students with discounted rides and hope these types of partnerships will be successful for all. In regards to the name your own fare policy, we're cautiously optimistic about this policy, but are worried that it might be a little too complicated. We hope staff will find a way to clearly communicate this fare option, otherwise we're worried it won't be successful. The RAC is planning on participating in the pilot and will be providing feedback on that item. We've already heard a good bit of feedback regarding the proposed change to the Metro Bus and Smart Trip Reload. While we do understand the authority's concern with on-time performance, we want to encourage further public feedback collection and possibly consider other options that work for both the authority and the concerned riders.
The AAC, based on that, the AAC really is aggressive on that. We think that the making sure that you have places to load the Smart Trip card, if you're going to keep that on the buses, you need to have additional places. People who are low income just can't get to some of the places to load those, like CVS and Giants or whatever.
We hope a lot is planning.
We heard that Monday.
We hope a lot is planning an extensive communication plan to communicate any of these changes in this area with the riders prior to the change. I've also been asked to speak on behalf of some AAC budget concerns. It's important to first say that any fare policy change affects the disabled ridership sharply and may also affect how Metro Access fares are calculated. We want to thank the board and staff for their consideration in these areas. In light of rail reliability issues and other fare initiatives for rail riders, the AAC is requesting WMATA strongly consider adjusting Metro Access fares to be based on a bus-only route calculation, as opposed to the current calculation, which takes into account Metro Rail as the, quote, fastest option, but doesn't take into account weekend, midday, and weeknight rebuilding efforts. And that delays rail travel, which factors into Metro Access fares. While we are appreciative of the inter-exit policy change to address concerns by rail ridership, it's equally important to consider similar adjustments for Metro Access riders. And I'll turn the rest of that conversation to Pat.
Thank you, Chris. And really the issue that we have is using the fare calculator, which is an instrument used to calculate Metro Access fares. We're not sure that the fare calculator accurately is representing the fact that the rail system might be slow because of track maintenance, or that it's going to reflect certain outages that the rail is having. So rather than have to fight that all the time, have people paying fares that aren't accurate, what we would like to see is and we asked the CFO to make these calculations, see if we can base Metro Access fares on twice the bus fares. We feel it's a comparable access to what is happening with Metro Access, and we also feel that it's reliable and fair for people with disabilities. So we're waiting for those numbers and appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, and that concludes the budget portion. I'll take any questions.
Any questions? In the last time they looked at twice the bus fare, there were some technical questions raised about whether we'd be in violation of ADA by doing that, but I don't object to looking at it again.
Thank you. I think that the issue was twice the fastest, but yeah. What we're arguing is that rail may not be the fastest now.
Right.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
We're looking to see what the cost involved is. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't know what it is. Okay.
Anything else on the budget that you wanted to add, Patrick?
No, I can't think of anything to need.
I'll skip over the talking about the next fiscal year. That's not urgent.
But you'll be looking at that only.
We will. That's one of the things on our list. It's just
a year from now, we're going to have.
Yes, we're going to do this, but we'll start it in this calendar year.
A reprieve, thanks to
Okay, so the next topic overall is the customer service, the big umbrella, and for us, customer service includes everything from, you know, pure what we call customer service, but interactions with customers, but also safety and security measures. So the first topic we have, which we all think is most important, is safety. And so we have several things regarding safety, and I'd like to let Colin talk about reducing crowding on the blue line, because it's not only a customer service issue, we believe it has become a safety issue.
Yep. So, I mean, as you're all aware, I'm sure, following the implementation of Rush Plus in 2012 and then the...
Excuse me, Colin, should I be handing this out now?
Please, yeah, sure.
Yes, please.
This is just a little background, or it's
we didn't get this in time to be made in advance, we apologize.
We'll provide some information for you. So anyways, following the implementation of Rush Plus in 2012 and then the opening of the Silver Line in 2014, Blue Line headways have basically doubled. So, you know, rush hour headways on the Blue Line are 12 minutes, while all other lines are 60 minutes. And aside from simply being a situation wherein Blue Line customers are paying the same peak fares for half the services that everyone else is getting, it's also become a safety issue. The Blue Line is by far the most crowded line in the system. And you know, even a very slight delay on the Blue Line of 1 minute can push the crowding on those trains well beyond Metro's stated maximum, not even just their ideal, but their actual kind of maximum limit of crowding on a train.
And Colin, I know I encourage you to go really fast, but I don't want to lose sight of that first page graph that I think is as telling as anything. In color, the blue line is blue, and you can see that there's just no comparison. And these are averages, and we want to stress, there's averages. So that means, for instance, if you have a train that is only at 90, there's someone else out there at 130.
Yeah, and so this data excludes the period during which there was track repair of each day due to the stadium artery issues. We didn't want to misrepresent
it was
typical
for different reasons.
Of course, yeah.
It was still higher, yeah.
Well, this was actually before.
Before that, yeah. And we opted to exclude that period from this graph because we thought it would skew the data unfairly. And then the next graph demonstrates that even at ideal operating headways, the blue line is among the longest wait of major transit systems in the country. So, the bottom line here is that we've got a situation that's not only unfair, but it's unsafe. You've got major crowding on platforms and in trains, as well as people paying for service that they're not exactly getting. So, our general recommendation is because the Silver Line has not seen the ridership that has been projected, to consider moving some of those trains back over to the Blue Line. Obviously, at the end of this document has a number of potential policy solutions to the Blue Line overcrowding issue, and obviously these all need to be explored in depth. But the number one there is looking at shifting rail cars, or shifting trains rather, over from the blue or silver and or orange lines back to blue, just to ease some of that congestion, not necessarily to bring it back up to 6 minute headways, but this has been an ongoing and serious issue that we repeatedly hear from riders at each one of our meetings. So.
I was going to ask about train lengths, but I see the paragraph on that we're not getting the 8-car trains.
We're not getting the 8-car trains. That's one of our other recommendations, is of course to prioritize 8-car trains on that line.
Could we introduce our
yes.
Thaddeus has had difficulty getting away for quite a long period of time, so.
Hi.
Just say who you are and what you do.
Thaddeus Johnson, I'm the vice chair for DC.
Do we have the absolute numbers of people riding the blue lines from the Pentagon to Roslyn versus the orange line from Vienna to Roslyn versus Wheeling to Roslyn and just right because from well not Roslyn necessarily yeah it is Roslyn because from
that's the potential point.
From there on in everybody's equal. It doesn't matter if you're on blue orange or whatever, right? So you know, to make a recommendation like this, what are the absolute numbers? Because to lower blue, to put silver or orange at that same level is not the answer either, right?
Sorry, can you repeat that last part?
Well, if blue reduces and orange or silver and or silver goes right up to where blue is, we haven't done the system any good. We've done the blue riders very good.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
blue riders, but the blue train riders.
Obviously, the bottom line here is that you can only fit so many trains through the Roslyn Tunnel.
Correct.
So I think you know our proposal isn't necessarily to restore blue line to where it was because, as you said, that would likely bump one of those other lines up to an unsustainable crowding situation as well. So we're recommending you know shifting a couple of trains per hour. And if you look at the Silver Line ridership data that has been made available to date, that line hasn't met the ridership predictions that you know were put out there before it opened. So in other words, you know, you're not seeing the ridership on the Silver Line that everyone anticipated before it opened. Therefore, you know. We're saying kind of logically, you should be able to shift some of those trains back over to the blue line without significantly impacting those Silver Line riders.
I agree theoretically.
Yeah, and I think you know obviously taking a look at the data much more closely would be absolutely essential to moving forward.
Does anybody know? Do we do that? Does Metro look at all this and make these decisions, or do we not?
That would be a question for your staff.
Well,
it's been looked at to go to eights across the board.
Yeah.
And there was we've had meetings like with Sean has been into our meetings to talk about a lot of the work, and he assured us the people were looking at it. There just weren't easy answers by any stretch, and so and I think that one thing that was toward that direction was the proposal last year to do some, I can't remember what it was called, the equalization, but it wasn't called that.
Right.
You know,
optimization.
Optimization.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, going to be great for the blue line people because I think everybody might have eight or something, but certainly all the orange and green, whatever, they weren't in favor of that. I kind of understand they wouldn't be. We're trying to put ideas on the table to pursue, to say, you know, it could be any number of things. And I'm sorry, I was doing a little running around. Did you already go through the list of possible recommendations?
I didn't go through the list
of
recommendations. I mean, I think, you know, it spans everything from obviously shifting trains to looking at how you might be able to modify fares, which of course is the most complicated and difficult option, which is why it's last on the list. But you know, I think the bottom line is aside, you know, it's potentially unsafe when you're dealing with crowding, but it's also a situation that's likely to result in further loss of ridership among you know those who are riding blue line now,
yeah.
And that's not something we want to see.
Denise,
in the future, could you pass that information electronically so we would know in advance because we can't participate in the conversation because we've not seen the information.
Yeah. Sure, that's a good point.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
We can email that to you if you like.
Yeah. And also because constraints in terms of time and respecting the time of you two gentlemen. So, Mr. Patrick, I'm sure this is the good time about safety and security for us to do two comments.
Go ahead.
Okay, one of the first.
Is it about the blue line? Can we finish that topic? Is that okay first? Because we definitely have other safety topics.
It is a blue line, too.
Oh, it is? No, but go ahead.
No, it's. Go ahead, please, ma'am, and I will wait.
Okay. One thing that I wanted to mention, well, first of all, you were here last year when I mentioned that I'm one of the people that got knocked down trying to board a blue line train because it was just more people than would fit, and people were, when the bell started ringing, they started pushing. And so I know from firsthand experience. So we're just saying we want to. The focus left in the past year has obviously needed to be on safety all the way around, but I know I've seen things lately about some things about platform crowding, not just rail train crowding, and so this is also, it becomes an issue for the blue line people when they wait 12 minutes. It does create some of that. So I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to ask us about this proposal.
I think the fact you've written it up because it's an opportunity for the staff to get a response. Lynn, do you want to comment on that?
Okay, so go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, in regards of the blue line, but also as a follow-up, in terms of the metro's proposal to lock the emergency gates. So one of these platforms is the Pentagon City Mall, and this gate is continued locked, and also the other gate at the gallery place, Chinatown. So my understanding has been that those gates are going to be unlocked because those gates are for actually emergency situations, and they should not to be locked. And what happens is when you are going to a person with a disability or the person, a regular person, a rider that needs to go through, they cannot do anything. Why? Because the gate is locked, and if the station manager is not there, this gate cannot be unlocked. So we have several issues with that situation. So I just want to update that there's still two gates continue locked, Pentagon City Mall and also Gallery Place Chinatown platform, SNE. Mr. Patrick, do you want to say something else about that?
No, I would also talk about, as far as safety is concerned, I would talk about, first of all, what Elvin speaks about, we've heard a lot from the disability community. So I think it's an issue that needs to be looked at. Safety comes, I think, before fiscal responsibility, and I believe this is a safety issue. Secondly, on the safety side, the emergency exercises, we have another one coming up, I think it's in March.
22nd. March 13th.
Very good. And one of our proposals was to ensure that it was opened up to people with disabilities. One of the things we found when I participated in December was that I wasn't sure how much we had as far as lessons learned between when we did it, I think it was in D.C., no.
The state before it's
PG County. In Carrollton area last time. So one of the positives has been that we did talk with the safety officers and first responders. And there is we've integrated into that group experts who are working for Maryland Department of Disabilities, DC Department of Disabilities, and I think Virginia Department of Disabilities is going to have a representative. What they want to do is to take the training that they have put together in those areas anyway, share it with WMATA so you have one product, one source of information which is consistent so that your engine, your first responders, firefighters, and metro personnel will all be receiving the same kind of information. Integrating that with subject matter experts, and I'm talking about people with disabilities who have service animals, or visually impaired, hearing impaired, all that kind of stuff, I think will help to make the safety emergency exercises much more effective. The other part of that would be you come to the AAC and you say participate, which we do, but we don't, it's not everybody that participates from that committee. Opening it up to the disability community is important because you will be able to engage people with different disabilities. The disability has as many questions and concerns as the first responders and firefighters. So I would urge that.
And if I may, Mr. Patrick, two items about that, the same emergency exercises. Number one is that we have suggested that prior to have the emergency exercises, it's so important that people with different disabilities have or be in a classroom with the police department, fire department, so they can have a little bit different interaction prior to go to the exercise, because each jurisdiction, they do have different staff. So when we go to one exercise, we are not going to have the same staff. So we have to go to the other exercise, we face different staff, they are not aware of what we have shared or what they have learned. So that is pretty much what we suggest that should be prior to. And number two, the waiver.
That's Denise one to talk.
Thank you.
Denise?
My main concern is the waiver. It presently has been a new requirement that you sign a waiver. I participated in two already, and I would like to participate in all of them, but I'm not going to sign a waiver saying, I waive any responsibility if anything happens to me. nothing has happened to me, but I'm not going to sign the waiver. I mean, when you get on the Metro bus or you get on the Metro rail, you don't sign a waiver. Well, if I ride this bus or the train, I'm not going to say it's okay if I get hurt. That's ridiculous. You got to practice. You got to know what the different disabilities, be it blind, someone with a motorized wheelchair, their dogs, asthma, everything. You got to participate. But I'm not signing a waiver. I want to participate. But that waiver requirement, all of a sudden, is people aren't going to sign that. And you're not going to have anybody to participate.
Okay. I did participate on the legs exercise. I got injured. I went to the doctor. I have to go under medical treatment because that injured. I couldn't say anything. Why? Because I did sign a waiver. Unfortunately, I will not be able to do that anymore unless the waiver is different. Okay. Thank you.
Barbara, do you want to go to the
Anything? I think we didn't really have anything else that's important to talk about. I mean, everyone wants to have additional police patrols, and we know people are. We heard today about ways that they're looking to increase that. Anything else you have on safety?
Well, communicating with everybody. So that means, how are you communicating with a deaf person?
During incidents, or are you talking about the exercise?
In general.
Yeah.
In general. We have requested that you have whiteboards or pads, pencils, or something, so you can communicate with the person when they're down in the tunnel.
Right.
Period. Every station manager should have something. How do they communicate with the person that doesn't talk?
What do we do now, then?
Nothing. We have requested at least a pad, a pencil, a whiteboard, something.
Sure. Okay.
That's only fair.
And a very low-tech solution to a problem that we've heard from the deaf community. They're not getting the same information. A simple whiteboard, paper, and pencil is all that's needed.
Okay.
Thank you. That'd be helpful. Thanks.
Okay, on to service issues. We have some things that the Customer Service Committee has expressed an interest in. They're listed here on your... these are ones that have come up specifically, but I, you know, they're looking in general at customer service issues to always look at what they think would improve the experience. We do understand that customer call center hours are based on what current demand is, but there's still an interest in really looking at whether we should have, especially when there's an incident, later hours that can get around. I think that, you know, as far as getting to the priorities, I think we have one. When it starts to talk about bus stops, we had a couple things about communication and just bus stops in general is we would like to partner with the AAC to identify ways that bus stops can be restored access during storms. Now, we know there was a wonderful bulletin on the home page after the last storm that said, you know, who takes care of the bus stops? We know that they're not owned by WMATA for the most part, the minority are. And so we're not just saying, you know, WMATA do something, we're saying let's come up with some ideas of ways that WMATA and we can get to have the other entities do something. Because I know, like, I was one of many people who, after about 3 days, I had bus service, but I couldn't get there because of a 4-foot snow wall. So,
you're talking sidewalks,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then right, the sidewalks were a big problem. And then we also we talked a little bit with Mr. Hamry and wanting to work with his bus information team about improving just information in general bus stops, knowing you still have the same challenges that there are not all the mod bus stops. But Patrick, you had something too about bus stops you wanted to talk about,
and most of that was had to deal with snow removal,
okay.
They pile up the snow, and then you can't get through the ramp If you have a wheelchair, you can't move.
No, I know. And I couldn't even climb through it. It was too high.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that is one of the situations that we see quite often in the time and the snow, that the staff come and they clean, but they don't go through those points, the bus stop, and the access for the wheelchair scooter to really park or to be picked up. The bus driver cannot download the lift. It's so difficult. But on the other hand, for instance, if you see a person on a wheelchair, this person cannot go from one side of the street to the other one. Why? Because the staff comes and they clean everything around, but they forget to clean the ramps, the sidewalks, the crossings. And that is a very, very big issue all the time. We see that all the time. And the question is that I am not responsible for that. That is the responsibility of the owners of that building. We go to the building. That is not me. That is the government. So what do we do? Thank you.
The accessibility of bus stops, as well as the lighting problems within the stations, are two initiatives that the AAC is working on. We're moving very nicely with the bus stops, accessibility, and just the renovation of the bus stops and cataloging them. I think we're a little bit behind schedule as far as the lighting project is concerned. I'm not terribly worried about that, but we're seeing very good improvements in the mezzanines. We did look, thank you, Chris, for looking it up on the budget, to find that the lighting project was funded for next for 17, and I think the bus stops also. So we really appreciate that, because that's going to take stress off.
Last year we set a goal for bus stops, which we considerably exceeded, and the board said, let's set that as the level that can be achieved, not drop back. And we promised 100, we did 200. It's a good, did 200 again.
Good, yeah. The last time we looked, the database that you have to visually describe the bus stops, where they are, how they look, and that meeting the all the different criteria that you have. It's very impressive. So we'll take another look at that again today. But we don't want to, AC, and I'm sure the RAC doesn't want to just come with complaints. There are areas that we're showing improvement, we're right on target. We want those projects to continue. We appreciate the funding and the support.
Yes.
And not just from the board, I want to say, but also support from WMATA staff, AGM, Christian Kent, I don't know if he's here. But,
thank you, Patrick.
Oh, you are. I was going to say, you're not here, then I can say something nice about it.
Did you also have in the customer area something about announcements you wanted to talk about? The 7,000 series announcements.
The automated announcements.
The automated door announcements.
Chris, yes. Oh, that's right. The configuration of those announcements. Chris, the way that's set, you explain that to me.
We've actually had, I also go to the AAC meetings, and we've had a gentleman since October come in and tell us that the 7,000 series announcements need to be adjusted. Staff says they're working on it. I hope they're working on it faster than it appears. What happens is the 7,000 series doors open, and the first thing you hear is stand back, doors opening, please move to the center, yada, yada, yada. Before that announcement is finished, the operator has hit the door close.
Right.
So you hear doors closing and you never hear what line you're on or what the destination is. And all the AAC community is asking is for those announcements to maybe be swapped. So the very first thing you hear when the door opens is green light to green bell.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
I will say as far as the announcements themselves, we pushed for that for about 15 years, and those announcements are very clear, very good. And they seem to work nicely. But if we can just change the order of the what's spoken, it's going to be a lot easier.
This may be a prime example of how to handle 7,000 feedback going forward. There may be other things that we hear from riders that we'd like staff to address.
Did you also have something about, you want to talk about the alternative sourcing of metro access?
We can, Carolyn. Yes. Denise?
We have heard several items, and we've had three meetings, I think, about giving our input, and then the last meeting, they gave us their proposal. We are concerned that one of the items was four only 4 trips per day. That's not good.
Is that per person you're saying?
Per person. Yeah. 4. You're not limiting, putting a limit on trips in D.C. So we're concerned that you're putting a limit on trips in Maryland, in PG, Montgomery County. Also, we're concerned that we want to make sure that the quality of the service, because they're handicapped people, I mean, you know, are they going to go door to door or just leave you at the curb? Who knows? That is a really, really important item. And the telephone, it says a telephone line may be provided. It must be provided. I don't understand when you say may be provided. There are a lot of people who do not have phones, cell phones. I cannot use a phone at all. I do not have it. I cannot feel it because it's a flat surface. So everything I use is raised, and so I don't have a cell phone. So I have to be able to use a phone to use the service. And there are a lot of people who do not have phones because they cannot afford to have one. I can afford, but can't use it because of my disability. I do not feel anything. I'm not even the dots for Braille. So that's not accessible to everyone, and it needs to be accessible to everyone if they want, you want to call and make contact. It cannot be just you use an app or special phone.
In general, though, I think we put a lot of requirements or a lot of information up with respect to the RFI. As Denise said, the requirement that phones be also part of the service, that it reflect, that it conform to ADA requirements.
So the vehicle has a phone installed?
No, so that you can, so if you're looking at, let's say you're looking at something like Uber or Lyft,
yeah.
Okay, you access them only through the smartphone. What Denise is saying is that you need to also have a phone requirement.
A normal phone.
Yeah, no, a regular phone. A real phone.
A real phone.
But so 3 requirements right off the bat, ADA conformant, the use of the phones. Also, another thing that came up was the structure of the payment system. It seemed a little bit complicated, not as simple as Transport DC. But in general, you have a very enthusiastic, excited community who sees that Maryland Transport, whatever we're going to call it, is a good idea. It'll relieve some of the pressure on the metro access system. But we've got probably a series of 8 or 9 other requirements that we want to work with. AAC has had a series of meetings. We're trying to bring folks in that have all kinds of questions, information, concerns, ideas, and get them, make sure they're up on the RFI list so that they get considered.
Also, the wheelchair.
The ability to take
access,
it has to be, it can't just be, you know, we're just going to have 50 vehicles.
And it can't be just a dance.
Yeah.
You have to, yeah, this, whatever the system is, has to have sufficient amounts of wheelchairs.
So everybody can ride, you know.
Yeah. DC Transit had a great idea. They had three classifications of vehicles. Wheelchair accessible vehicles, vans, and then let's say sedans. The wheelchair accessible vehicles could pick up all 3 categories. Sedans could only pick up one set of people. Vans could only pick up, you know, a couple. What sedans could pick up plus their own. But wheelchair accessible vehicle could pick up all three categories. That gave incentive for them to have more wheelchair vans. And I thought that was kind of ingenious.
Well, DC is a smaller area to cover than Maryland, Virginia, PG. You've got a larger area, so it works. It works for DC. From DC, you can go northwest, upper northwest, all the way to southeast DC for $5. You can't do that with going from Gaithersburg all the way to Port Washington.
So, that'd be a great deal for us.
Yeah, but you know, so we've got to look at it. You're comparing oranges to grapefruits and watermelons. You got to look at it's a wider area to cover.
So well, I think from our standpoint, it's still a work in progress. And hopefully you'll continue to push your ideas in and we'll get the best thing out that we can.
Yeah, I will say congratulations to WMATA staff, management staff, for having those meetings, getting the ideas in, presenting a proposal, but being very accepting to the ideas that have come up. So that's good. Barbara?
Yeah, so before we leave the budget page and the customer service page, I just want to say that to clarify, in general, we're looking for a couple of topics where we're looking for your approval to do, but mostly it's saying, does this sound like a good thing to work on? I haven't heard you say, oh, don't bother with that.
Nope.
So this is what we'll work on unless you tell us otherwise.
No, good.
Okay. Okay, so moving on to, I think we've got all of that. So we have a committee called Programs, Projects, and Planning that Colin is chair, and we have several things. Some of them are follow-up from things that we did just late last year, so more of you would probably be aware of them. We know that we had something that actually came to you late, like in late December by email about social media, and you had said you'd want to talk with us at one of these meetings. So
the issue here, let me express the way I understand it. You, as the Writers Advisory Council, are looking for a way to be communicative with writers in general.
Yeah, and they don't even really know about us.
And vice versa, yeah. Right? And the proposal had been that you have a point on social media to make those communications. And I gather the staff response to that was, we don't want anybody else out there who might be confused with
representing WMATA. Right.
And I think that's a policy call for us, is to do what you say, don't communicate because people might think you're us, or are you in fact us?
So is there something that you want from us? I mean, I didn't bring it with me today, but we did provide a cover letter.
I think, given we have
I'm always forgetting the most information out.
Yeah.
Oh, I do too.
Right.
So if you get confused with us, too bad. But yeah, give us something new, we'll see.
Okay.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know there was interaction with the staff in the development of it, but then I know there was later after we, well, actually, it was even before we submitted it to you,
sorry,
from staff.
Be confusing.
Okay.
Life is confusing.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay.
Let's see.
Mobile application partnerships. I think you've seen the news
a
few days on that.
Big fans of that effort.
A couple of things we had said was maybe have a branded app, but also just even have a certification program.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Colin, if after you two, somebody else went. Did you go to? You three of you went.
Jim was there.
To the hack.
I was there.
Yeah. So. Are we just going with that, or is there anything that we're asking for beyond that? What's happening already with?
Well, I think our primary concern was just having a mechanism or avenue of communication between those who are utilizing the data and those who are responsible for the data.
Okay.
And just making myself, I'm not sure that 1,000 flowers should bloom.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Eventually, you can find the one that works best.
Yep. No, that's good.
I may not have room enough on my cell phone to have them all there, but I try.
So that's probably the next two items under it was not only the mobile app partnership, but also data integrity things. Does that tackle both of those topics in your mind, more or less? Okay. One of the things Chris already alluded to, and it's part of the committee that Colin chairs, is partnering with the AEC to collect feedback on the 7,000 series before time moves on.
Yeah. Or even as we're getting delivered on the 7,000.
I know. So I suppose the challenge is not doing it too early and not doing it too late. Right. So help us.
Do it constantly. Get us information.
Okay.
I did have some recommendations on the 7,000, but I don't know if they've been acted on.
Okay.
Particularly, I think one of the issues, and maybe this goes back to safety, but the way you use the emergency buttons changes from car to car. So they need some you push
across the fleet.
Across the fleet. So I don't know what to do from what car I'm on. So making sure that that's uniform, I think, is important. The other big thing.
Can I interrupt?
Yeah.
At least that the instructions on that car match how it works on that car.
Yeah.
If they're not uniform operations, then we don't want uniform instructions.
I meant to say uniform operations for that.
For that one.
Car.
Got it.
Right. Thank you.
Of course you meant that. Yeah, I should realize that.
No, I didn't say it.
But yeah, you meant that, though. I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other area that we have a difficulty with is on the front seats. If you've got individuals that have mobility issues, using the armrest to help you get up is sort of a must.
The front six seats don't have armrests.
Right. It was suggested prior to the design, and it was following up, but they didn't. So now we are missing that for so many people that we need it to get up and get out.
So when you put that all together,
yeah,
on the 7,000 series, where we got up to date, and we'll just go forward from there.
Yep.
And if they come in, let us know.
That would be something possible to do. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we will constantly
gather
information about 7,000.
You're the best people to do that for us.
Great.
So we should make sure we have consistent recommendations.
Oh, yeah. No, this is joint. That one was
yeah,
one we said
exactly.
We wanted it to be joint, like partnered together. Yes, absolutely.
Would be terrible if the RAC and the AAC.
We demanded opposite things. Yes, that would be bad. That would be inappropriate. We hope somebody catches on. And may I introduce Will White? You are, what do you do?
What do I do?
We already talked about your committee stuff.
Oh, okay. Great. I am presently the chair of the Customer Service Subcommittee, representing Prince George's County.
Okay. So maybe we should move quickly because we're losing people.
Yeah, we are losing people.
Right, what's the last research status?
Yeah, well, you know, we just don't know exactly where it stands as far as what's going to happen and whatnot, and I don't. But that's just something
but
we want to find out.
So
that's what it's on our list.
Yeah.
So we'll figure that out.
All right.
The payment program.
I wasn't actually going to go through all of the next list because this is more internal. This is more internal, with one exception.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to talk, this is the appropriate audience, to talk about the interaction of the groups. You know, how we interact with the board, especially at both of our AAC and NRI, and also with staff, and just to make sure that we're doing things in a way that makes sense. You know, when we make proposals, for instance, here, and you say, that sounds like a good idea, should we be first? We've worked with them a little bit, but we haven't actually shown them the proposal. What's the right sequence for these things? Should we be bringing them to you first? We bring them to you jointly? How would you like us to interact in that sort of thing? Because this came up actually, I think you were at part of one of our sessions and you said, hey, what do we do next? How do we handle these things that we recommended? You know, and that's something we would like to have a clear understanding of what we should expect or not expect, so that we are all moving in the same set of instructions.
Right. And if I can just jump in, our process has been, we've got an idea. We, of course, go through ADAP, but we do have the good graces of Mr. Kent to help us to assist us in looking at the proposals, seeing if it's viable. And I think that has been a very critical reason why we're able to get a lot of things done.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does that, does he work then with other departments, other departments?
Yeah.
Right.
So that, I mean, for the AAC, that has created a lot of goodwill. It's helped us to get proposals that actually make sense that engineers can work with. And it works. So that, you know, and other proposals that we like, that we think is a great idea, that, you know, have to be funded later, for instance, like the telecommunications and the use of cell phones in the rail stations. you know, that whole thing is being funded through a different initiative. It's that kind of assistance that has been critical to us. And Mr. Kent has been able to rally the people around and get us the right people at the right times to make sure it works within WMATA. And I think, Barbara, that's kind of what you're asking.
Well, we're just saying, how would you like it to work? I mean, we're so lucky that Jason is joined with us too, because we have a wealth of information because he's a part of Lynn's organization, and we hear about things that are being researched and what's happening. And we also still have our ties to John and to Jennifer for when it comes to board-related things. But I don't know that, you know, Jason has been particularly assigned with being a person leading the projects that we're on and doing the research and working with all the departments and staff. You may go to staff for information. And you guys know, you could have sat at the table too. It would have been okay. Christian's here, he would be here.
You know, so, I think as Paul is thinking about how he's restructuring, one of our questions to him is, how can we best take advantage of what we learn here and get response to it? I'm always happy to carry the message. I'm never sure I quite carry the right message. But I think as he thinks about new ways to organize this, we talked to us today about stakeholders. Yeah. These are some of the key stakeholders.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe Paul needs to have somebody here so that you don't have to do it through us to somebody.
Well, you know, my career, most of my career has been as a liaison in big system developments at big companies. One was the Washington Post, the other was somebody in Oregon. But a lot of times, you know, almost every company has departments and teams and silos, and it doesn't mean they don't like each other or work together, it's just that they're still silos, and sometimes somebody that's crossing all the lines is really, really very
helpful. Why don't we run it by Paul and see what he has to say, and see how we can, and he's doing a whole new organization structure, and then this will be part of that structure, and maybe somehow into one of the committees, depending on where he puts it, then it could be in one of the WMATA committees as well.
That sounds great.
And then, this is going to be a work in progress.
No. Well, you know, you're new. We have a lot of us are new. Yep. There, he's new.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of change going on. So let's come up with what we want to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing that's come up on interaction is that in the past, some of the time, some years, members of the RAC have met with their counterparts on the board. Like last year, I think it was the Maryland group. All of the RAC Maryland people met with all of the board people from Maryland. And we know we have an interest within the RAC to meet their counterparts. And what I'm asking of you is, assuming that this is a good thing to pursue, would you like it to be, you know, big jurisdiction oriented? I mean, DC is DC. We don't split that one apart. But like for Maryland, do you want to have a Prince George's meeting and a Montgomery meeting, or just get all the Maryland people together in a room? Or do you have any feeling about that, or want to talk to your cohorts about it? Or?
Yeah, I would want to talk to them. I mean, I don't see the point of splitting it up, but I mean, it would depend on scheduling. I guess
you know what? I think that's it. The more people you have, the harder the scheduling is. So yeah, I don't think anybody with our group necessarily wants to split it up, but we'd be willing to if that makes it happen.
Mm-hmm. And I think also you'd have the AAC would want to be involved along with Brad.
Are you jurisdictionally broken out? I can't recall.
By
Maryland versus
you
do. Okay.
We are, but however, if it's Maryland, you know, then we've got our Maryland folks. And AAC and RAC, you would want to have two different sets of meetings.
No, that's a great idea. And I don't think we did it together before.
No.
And then Virginia, we had the same issues. And then with the last big budget cycle 2 years ago, Mary Hines met with all of the. Actually, Arlington, and I was the only Alexandrian. I was the Virginia chair, so I got to go. But so I know at least our Fairfax. His nickname is Major, but his name's John. John Nelson, who left. he knows he wants to meet with Catherine.
Virginia, I love too.
Yeah, right. That's true. We can forget talking about a Virginian. But so I can't ask him. It's too late. All right. So, but you're okay with us setting
those up.
We can, we'll just start with you. Jason will probably, you'll do that. We'll figure out, he can coordinate with you, is that right? Do you want it?
I'll do
it. Oh, no, that's right.
Yep,
you're
going to
do that.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll be in touch with
who we'll keep them in the loop, obviously, but we'll handle the
great
work on that one.
Okay, let's see. Anything else about interaction? I think that's pretty much it. I guess the question is, were you thinking we ought to be working on something we didn't mention? I know that's a hard question. What's missing from this picture? Is there something you'd like the yes. RAC or the AAC to
yes.
be working on?
The biggest issue is this. Everything we talk about costs money. I need more money. And so when you have an opportunity to talk to the elected officials in Congress, in the state governments, not necessarily the district, because I am the district, we need more money. And, you know, I've been around 25 years as an elected official, and I recognize the worst time to go get money is when you're doing badly. Metro is perceived to be doing badly, so it's hard for me to go anywhere and say I need more money, because people perceive us as wasting money, which we don't do, but nonetheless, they perceive us as that. But if we were running the system perfectly and didn't have one complaint from anybody ever, I would be short hundreds of millions of dollars in trying to run the system. So I need money. And we are going to have to go to Congress. We are going to have to get the federal government to contribute to the operating side, which they now do not do. We are going to have to go to all the three jurisdictions and say, if you want the system you always complain to me that you want, you have to pay for it. And that's where I'm going to need your help more than anything. That's all I'm doing right now.
How can we help you?
Talk to them. When you go to meetings, raise your hand, stand up, and just raise the issue every time you can. I recognize it's a hard sell because we're perceived, and again, I'm repeating myself, not viewed as doing well.
But it's a vicious circle. It won't be better if there's no
more
money to get it better.
And the good news is I've been here before.
Yeah.
I was the finance chair in the District of Columbia in the mid-90s, new finance chair, when the place was, as you know, going to wreck and ruin. We were $750 million in debt. Nothing worked. The finances were chaotic. The bond rating was low as it could possibly be. Today, we are completely the opposite of that. We're the most fiscally responsible jurisdiction in America, and everything's working. So how did we get from there to here? It wasn't just by luck. You know, it took a lot of hard work, but we had to go to Congress and convince them, Tony Williams and I did year after year after year, that we were doing better and we deserved more help. And it took a while, because again, they looked at us and said, go away. But after a period of time, we were able to build that confidence back up. And that's what our job is now, is to build the confidence that Metro can run an efficient operation here, but we're gonna need your help going forward. Because at the end of the day, there's not one prediction I've seen, my own analysis, that says we can run this place with what we have. Otherwise, as I tell everyone, you want me to run it with what I have? This is what you got.
Can I say from a writer point of view, in spite of reduced revenue, in spite of all the problems, staff and largely the board managed to put out a budget that is a zero-sum budget, a balanced budget, by finding cuts without putting this on the back of writers.
Yep.
And we completely appreciate the effort that staff went through and the board fighting for writers to not have a fair increase. That's something that every one of us appreciate.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't want to raise our fares ever. I hate raising fares. I think it's a ridiculous idea. But we are balancing the budget this year on, I hate to use the word gimmicks.
Gimmicks
is a good word. We're using capital dollars for operating expenses we shouldn't be doing, but we're doing it. We're legally allowed to do it, but we're not raising fares. But next year, you know, it's a different story in the sense of what gimmicks can you come up with?
Right.
And that's where I need your help. We need more assistance. And it has to come from the Fed. I'm apparently now meeting with the Secretary of Transportation tomorrow, right?
Yes.
He's a big critic of us. And so, you know, but I'm going to point out, you can be as critical as you want, but you don't give me any money. Give me some money, then you can be a critic. And so that's the kind of approach we really need to do. I believe we have a great board. We have a great new general manager. That we really have the tools in place to start getting this place fixed. So, but that's what you can do to help me. And keep the suggestions coming. Keep this stuff coming. I mean, you better than anybody can tell us where we're making mistakes, how we can run this place better. All of that is critical, and we appreciate it. And we'll set up meetings in D.C., and then we'll do ours.
In the next couple of weeks, the new general manager will be laying out his agenda of what he expects to be doing.
March 7th.
Right?
March 7th is laying it all out.
National Press Club.
Unless someone from Metro leaks it early,
right.
Which is always a possibility, that's always seems to happen, but hopefully it won't leak this time.
Once it's out there, I would appreciate your looking at it and saying, number one, what do you agree with? Number two, where do you think your input would help improve it?
It
would be what he's going to be held accountable for doing. And March 7th is supposed to be a roll-up if you want to pay 30 years.
Say that again.
Lunch is at the press club.
National press club.
As long as you pay your way. I got to pay my way to go over and hear that.
I have my old coworkers over there, you know.
We can make this a great system again. That's our goal, and we're going to do it. So listen, it's almost 3:00. I got to run as well. So
thank you.
Thank you all for coming out and sharing this with us.
Thank you. And you guys, I think you did a great job, though, hiring a GM. I mean, my personal compliments. This is not
thank you.